Continuing with this letter, in June of 1941, Milan Budak, B-U-D-A-K, then Croatian Minister of Education, is on record as stating that Croatia was to be a state of two religions, Roman Catholicism and Islam. Bosnia-Herzegovina was part of wartime Croatia, and the Bosnian Muslims were encouraged to massacre Serbs. The Bosnian Muslim Hanjar unit, H-A-N-D-Z-J-A-R, unit of the SS, was particularly effective in this regard. According to Budak's openly stated policy, Serbs should be dealt with in three ways. One-third to be exterminated, one-third deported, and the rest converted to Catholicism. In the summer of 1941 alone, Andrei Artukovich, the so-called Himmler of the Balkans, the interior minister of the Ustasha regime, was able to effect the liquidation of 350,000 Jews, Serbs, and Gypsies. Just in the summer of 1941, Yugoslavia having been invaded on April 10th of 1941, the April 10th holiday, still celebrated by the residual Ustashi elements in the United States and elsewhere. By the way, as we have noted in an update to Radio Free America 37, a street in Zagreb was renamed after Milan Budak, although later President Tudjman of Croatia reversed that particular decision because of the protest that it generated. But note the World War II collaboration between not only the Catholic Ustashi, but also Muslim elements in Yugoslavia and elsewhere. As we've noted in numerous broadcasts, Radio Free America programs 3 and 4 and 22, the two-part miscellaneous series about the fascist third position, as well as the miscellaneous archive show called Strange Bedfellows, the Nazis made very good use of various Middle Eastern nationalist and religious groups to combat their colonial enemies, the British, in large areas of the Middle East, and also to enlist the services of Muslims both in Palestine and in the Balkans to liquidate their enemies there. One of the people who was principally involved with recruiting Balkan Muslims to fight in the SS units was a fellow named Haji Amin al-Husseini, who was himself a major in the SS. Haji Amin al-Husseini was the self-proclaimed Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. He was the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement and has wielded a profound influence, unfortunately, on the post-World War II history of Middle Eastern nationalist movements and the Palestinian nationalist movement as well. And indeed, the Grand Mufti's milieu has served as a breeding ground for the perpetuation of many of the World War II links between German Nazis and fascists and Muslims and Middle Eastern nationalists into the post-World War II period. And again, some of the previous archive shows that I've discussed go into that. I should note that as well as the CIA Skorzeny-led Galen mission to build up the Egyptian General Staff and Intelligence Service, we looked at that in Radio Free America number 3 and came back to it in number 22. This was a mission commissioned by Alan Dulles and the CIA, and using the SS commando extraordinaire Otto Skorzeny, a key Galen agent, one of Hitler's personal favorites, in charge of Third Reich of commando operations for the Third Reich, and arguably the most important leader of the post-World War II SS and Nazi underground. Otto Skorzeny, working for the CIA, brought a bunch of Nazi war criminals to the Middle East, and a bunch of SS and Gestapo veterans, many of them war criminals, to help build up the Egyptian intelligence service and its general staff. And also, while there, Skorzeny helped to form and train the first Palestinian terrorist groups. And the Grand Mufti was deeply involved with the formation and perpetuation of many of these links. And bear in mind the name of Haji Amin al-Husseini. We're going to come back to it later in the broadcast. The links that were forged during World War II and perpetuated within the bowels of such institutions as the Galen Organization and its related CIA and ABN elements, well, let's just say the seeds that were planted there have grown and are bearing fruit today. That, by the way, from the last editor, from the that letter to the editor from the New York Times of May 12th of 1994. From the San Jose Mercury News of Friday, May 13th of 1994, we find the following echo of the past. This is a Washington Post story, dateline Sarajevo, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and headlined, Iran War Supply Flows to Bosnia, sources say. Subheaded, Funneling of Material via Croatia Defies Arms Ban. It reads in part, An Iranian Air Force transport plane, loaded with at least 60 tons of explosives and other raw materials for weapons production, landed in Zagreb last week as part of a deal between Croatia and Bosnia to renew cooperation for more war in the Balkans, Western and Bosnian sources say. The May 4th arrival of the Boeing 747 in Croatia's capital marked a conspicuous violation of the arms embargo imposed by the UN Security Council on Yugoslavia and its former republics. Coming 2 days before a visit to Bosnia and Croatia by Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Velayati, V-E-L-A-Y-A-T-I, it sent a strong signal of Iran's commitment to Bosnia's Muslims and its desire to influence events. Velayati presented Bosnian President Alija Izetbegovic, I-Z-E-T-B-E-G-O-V-I-C, with a check for $1 million and a chit for 10,000 tons of diesel fuel. The plane, which foreign diplomats and Bosnian Muslim sources said was the first in a series of intended weapons-related technology transfers from Iran, provides an illustration that the arms embargo on Bosnia and Croatia has sprung leaks. With the recent rapprochement between Croatia and Bosnia, several senior Western officials said they believe these leaks could turn into a stream. Well, in the past, both in our discussions with Farah Mansour, a member of the Iranian resistance, and also our discussions with Professor Wilhelm Stauffer of Stauffer Consultants, and in our examination of the Germany Alert newsletter, we have taken a look at BND support for Iranian terrorism. We've taken a look at CIA support for the Iranian Muslim fundamentalists who came to power under Khomeini. And we have also looked at a BND training for the Iraqi terrorists in recent times. We've also looked at German and BND support for the Algerian Muslim fundamentalist movement. Given German support for the Iranians, given BND support for the Iranians, and given German and BND support for the Croatians, I suspect that the edict of Milan Budak, the Ustashi Minister of Education, that there were to be two religions in Croatia, Islam and Roman Catholicism. That same basic attitude is prevailing within certain quarters in that part of the world today. Note the Croatian and Iranian slash Muslim cooperation with regard to forming a joint military operation against the Serbs, a direct echo probably with the assistance of BND, although one cannot say that for sure, probably a direct, not only an echo of the past, but probably something which is itself stemming from a perpetuation of some of the same relationships that I have been setting forth this evening. Indeed, one of the really scary things about examining, by the way, that again from the San Jose Mercury News of Friday, May 13th of 1994. One of the really scary things about examining the reality of contemporary German history and political science is that just as the Gehlen organization and many of the most heinous elements of the Third Reich's national security establishment jumped to the CIA, so they have been perpetuated within the Third Reich, within the national security establishment of the so-called new, unquote, Germany. One of the main concepts of Adolf Hitler as a political strategist was the concept of the big lie. The larger the lie, the more readily it is believed. This is one of the principles, one of the psychological and political principles underlying the myth of the denazification of Germany. It is just that. It is a myth. But because it was deemed necessary from a propaganda standpoint during the Cold War to portray Germany as a democratic in order to contrast it with the Stalinist dictatorship that was in East Germany, the reinstitution of Nazi and fascist elements in Germany was covered up during the Cold War period. The myth of the denazification of Germany is exactly that. It's a myth. It never happened. And one of the terrifying outgrowths of that is the perpetuation of Nazism and fascism within the very bowels of the German national security establishment. We're going to return once again to the Germany Alert newsletter of Tuesday, June 7th of 1994. The following is a story from a Germany Alert correspondent, Dateline Munich, and headlined, DVU Fascists Campaign for Kinkel's FDP. In a remarkable development, German fascists are campaigning to see that the FDP stays in power. Extremist leader Gerhard Frey is even urging supporters to vote FDP in this year's vital national elections. The FDP, also known as the Liberals, are chaired by Foreign Minister Klaus Kinkel, former head of German espionage. Fry, in turn, is head of the neo-fascist DVU, the German People's Union, and publisher of a nationalist newspaper. There are unconfirmed reports that Fry, an outspoken anti-Semite and racist, is also an operative of the German espionage system. The neo-fascist leader has strong links to the Russian fascist movement and reportedly directs several German nationalist covert projects to destabilize the governments of Poland, the Czech Republic, and the regional government of Kaliningrad, Russia. Well, in a previous edition of Germany Alert, we took a look at the BND, the German intelligence service, using not only Gerhard Frey's Deutsche Volksunion, but also the Republikaner Party of Franz Schönhuber, himself a former Feldwebel, a sergeant in the Waffen-SS, to effect the re-Germanification of parts of Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, viewed by Germany as rightful parts of a, quote, greater Germany, unquote. Gerhard Frey is an individual we've looked at great length in the past. He was, as we have seen, one of the major German funding conduits to Russian fascist Vladimir Zhirinovsky, a rising star in the demoralized and disintegrating Russian Republic, a republic that I think ultimately is going to go fascist. In fact, I would bet on it at this stage of the game. That, by the way, there's a very chilling article on just how bad things are in Russia in the current edition of Mother Jones. I think people should take a look at that, because I think ultimately that massive social disintegration is going to push people in Russia in the direction of fascism. And although it may not be Zhirinovsky personally, but someone with his attitudes and a little more adroit public relations sense, it is my conviction, explicitly stated in Radio Free America 37, that ultimately Russia will go fascist. And when Russia goes fascist, it will ally with the re-emergent German fascism, and then an engine of truly sinister proportions will be dominating first Europe and then the world, including the United States. We have looked at Gerhard Frey from his situation as a publisher that incorporated not only elements of Goebbels' propaganda ministry, but also former high-ranking SS officers. We've taken a look at the connections between Gerhard Frey and the Bruderschaft, the brotherhood organizations of German military veterans of World War II, which helped to coalesce nationalist and fascist sentiment in Germany, and which formed these seeds of the national security establishment of Germany, both the military and intelligence services. That military and those intelligence services have perpetuated the traditions of the Third Reich. So it is interesting here to see, oh, and of course, we've looked at Gerhard Frey in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy. It was in his newspaper that the information was first reported that Lee Harvey Oswald had supposedly fired at General Edwin Walker, despite the fact that that information was published on November 29th of 1963. It came from an interview between General Walker on November 23rd and Gerhard Frey. Walker was a good friend of Gerhard Frey. And according to the official version of the assassination, it was first reported to the world on December 3rd of 1963 by Marina Oswald. And again, as I've said before, you don't have to be Lieutenant Columbo or Sherlock Holmes to figure out that there's something fundamentally wrong with that account. And indeed, in the August 2nd and August 30th, 1992 installments of Radio Free America 37, I took a look at President Kennedy's assassination, one of the central political events of this century, as representing the triumph of the rollback or liberation milieu, which ultimately was to have its success in the 1980s and 90s. That success now directly paved the way for the reemergence of fascism on a worldwide basis. Fascism never left, but now it's emerging into the open, and it is assuming what it views as its rightful place in dominating the world. The ultimate success of rollback or liberation theory, using the goals of the anti-Bolshevik bloc of nations and Alfred Rosenberg's Ostministerium, namely enlisting the aid of the dissident Soviet ethnic minorities to effect the breakup of the Soviet Union into its constituent ethnic republics, that theory saw its successful evolution in the 1980s and 90s. It began with Alfred Rosenberg's Ostministerium, was introduced into the United States through the aforementioned Crusade for Freedom, became a dominant American political and national security doctrine, and ultimately had its triumph in the U.S. through the assassination of John Kennedy, and saw its fulfillment in the 80s and 90s under Reagan and Bush. And now, indeed, the Soviet Union has been broken up into its constituent ethnic republics. Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia have been fragmented. And the reconstitution of the German Empire that was effected for a period of time by Adolf Hitler is well underway. Also from Germany Alert of Tuesday, June 7th of 1994, also from a Germany Alert correspondent, this is Dateline Kaliningrad. We find the following. Kaliningrad in, quote, German grip, unquote. Agents of the German BND espionage service are subverting the area of this Russian port city with a flood of propaganda designed at aimed at a de facto German takeover, regional officials said Monday. Although only 2% of the population speaks German, nearly all Russian language signs have been replaced by German signs. Meanwhile, several German, quote, institutes, unquote, claiming to spread, quote, friendship and culture, unquote, are actively subverting Russian leadership of the regional parliament and executive, a high-ranking Kaliningrad official declared. Well, again, the BND is the successor organ to the Galen organization. It has worked in the Eastern Europe with, as we've said, the Gerhard Fry organization and Franz Schoenhuber's Republikaner Party. Bear in mind that Klaus Kinkel, whose FDP party is now receiving the support of Gerhard Fry, former head of BND. I would also note that in some of our discussions with Professor Wilhelm Stauffer, he mentioned that one of the things that was going on in Germany was an incorporation of the ideological tenets of the German fascist parties by the mainstream German parties, and that even though the German authorities were reporting that the vote being received by some of the fascist parties was disintegrating, people are defecting from those parties to the larger German political parties, including FDP and CDU-CSU, because now they are essentially adopting a similar ideological stance to those advocated by organizations like the DVU. And bear in mind the unsubstantiated accounts of Gerhard Fry actually being a BND agent, something that I think warrants serious scrutiny under the circumstances. As I've mentioned, one of the most terrifying aspects of the reemergence of German fascism is that within the bowels of the German national security establishment are operations that are every bit the equivalent of the kind that were undertaken under Adolf Hitler, that operations are ongoing, that are every bit as sinister and of the same character as those undertaken by Adolf Hitler. They are going on today. This is not something that is past, and yet it is not being reported in the United States or, as far as I know, very many other places as well. Also, from that very same edition of Germany Alert, the Germany Alert newsletter of Tuesday, June 7th of 1994, we find the following article datelined Bonn, and it's by Herschel Scott, S-C-O-T-T. This is an article about the firebombings in Solingen. Five members of a Turkish family were burned to death in this firebomb attack a year ago. What has not emerged into the Western press, or at least into the American press, is that the neo-Nazi killers of those unfortunate Turks were trained in the use of weapons and in their terrorist tactics by elements of the German law enforcement and national security establishment, specifically elements of the Verfassungsschutz, or VS. That is a domestic German intelligence service which was designed to protect the German constitution. In its inception, it was viewed as something to prevent the return of Nazism to Germany, nominally speaking. Of course, anyone familiar with what actually is going on in Germany or what happened in the past knows that that is something of a farce, since the fascists were put back in Germany at every level. Let's get into the following story, though. It is a very important one. It is terrifying, and it exemplifies the nature of the challenge that faces humanity today. This article, again, is called Secret Police Directed, quote, School, unquote, for Solingen Nazi Mass Murderers. It's Dateline Bonn, and it's authored by Herschel Scott. It reads, Germany's secret police, the Verfassungsschutz, trained young Nazis who murdered a Turkish family in the West German town of Solingen 1 year ago, it was learned. Indoctrination of the young people in Germany's politics of hate and dominance was the subject of ongoing VS reports that reached, quote, the highest levels of the service, unquote, a high government source admitted in an interview. Meanwhile, the head of a Solingen, quote, sports school, unquote, where the youths were taught to despise foreigners and plotted to firebomb the Turkish family, has now admitted to being a VS agent. One more time. By the way, Verfassungsschutz is spelled V-E-R-F-A-S-S-U-N-G-S-S-C-H-U-T-Z. That last sentence again. Meanwhile, the head of a Solingen sports school, quote unquote, where the youths were taught to despise foreigners and plotted to firebomb the Turkish family, has now admitted to being a VS agent. He made the admission during the murder trial of five youths charged with the killings. Germany Alert first reported on the man's links to the German government shortly after the firebombing. Bernd Schmidt, who ran the Hak Pao Sports School in Solingen, that's H-A-K, capital P-A-O, was excused from testifying at the trial because of his VS links. This, despite indications that Schmidt knew of the Nazi murder plot and indeed drilled the use in a regimen of anti-foreigner and anti-Semitic hate. Last sentence again. This, despite indications that Schmidt knew of the Nazi murder plot and indeed drilled the use in a regimen of anti-foreigner and anti-Semitic hate. Schmidt is a, quote, highly motivated, unquote, V.S. agent who filed, quote, ongoing reports, unquote, on his, quote, patriotic training, unquote, of German use with Verfassungsschutz and other interior ministry agencies, an official declared. Quote, the government was in the middle of this at the highest levels of the intelligence service, unquote, the official added. Schmidt's public revelation of his V.S. ties raises serious questions about the German government's covert role in the country's renewed embrace of Nazi methods and the values of German superiority. As reported previously by Germany Alert, the mother of one defendant in the mass murder trial has links to both Schmidt and to top Bonn officials. On Monday, government officials said the Solingen murder case is, quote, causing massive headaches, unquote, because of fears that one or more of the defendants may, quote, go public, unquote, about the V.S. and Interior Ministry role in their training. Well, I think that story speaks for itself, and it's terrifying. The Verfassungsschutz is a domestic German intelligence service in charge with protecting the integrity of the Grundgesetz, the German Constitution, and it was supposed to protect against a return of Nazism, but as indicated there, it has certainly not done that, and unfortunately, there are indications not only from the Solingen incident and the Bernd Schmidt connection, but also from other information that I'm going to review in a minute, that the Verfassungsschutz has in fact actively collaborated with so-called neo-Nazi terror. We're going to review some information which we have dealt with in the past and which reflects directly back to the aforementioned Radio Free America number 22, The Terror Connection, Otto Skorzeny. This is a book called The New Reich, subheaded Violent Extremism in Unified Germany and Beyond. It's authored by Michael Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T. It's copyrighted in, just one second, 1993, and published in hardcover by Pantheon Books, P-A-N-T-H-E-O-N. What we're going to look at here is the interaction between a number of elements. First of all, we're going to be looking at another so-called sports school. Sporting groups, sports schools are frequent covers for German Nazis. We're going to take a look at the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, led by German neo-Nazi Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, H-O-F-F-M-A-N-N. Karl-Heinz Hoffmann was one of the German neo-Nazis whose organizations have become deeply involved with the fascist third position. They have very strong connections to those elements of the Palestinian national movement, which retain connections to the Galen-Skorzeny milieu. By the way, we should note, as I mentioned in the, as we discussed in the Strange Bedfellows archives show, that the Palestinian national movement, like the Zionist movement, is not monolithic. There are elements that are fascist, there are elements that are socialist, and frequently those elements fight with each other. But there are, as a matter of record, very significant elements of the Palestinian national movement that retain active contacts to Nazis, and the genesis of that relationship goes all the way back to World War II. One of those connecting links is the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, and we're going to talk about Sportgruppe Hoffmann, its links to the Middle East, to Middle Eastern terrorism, and we're also going to come across a name that we have dealt with in the past, a fellow named Hans Langemann, L-A-N-G-E-M-A-N-N. In Radio Free America number 22, we took a look at Hans Langemann in connection with the Olympics massacre of 1972. Hans Langemann, at that time a BND agent, was in charge of security for the 1972 Munich Olympics. He had previously been involved with helping to de-index American records of Nazi war criminals and party members. The records remained intact. The index was deep-sixed at German request. We also took a look at Langemann's role in helping to recruit a prominent Bay Area Republican and member of the Nixon administration into the BND, or as a BND operative. We also took a look at the collaboration between Hans Langemann of the BND and Hans Kolmar, at that time the head of the BKA, the Bundeskriminalamt, the German Federal Police, the equivalent of our FBI, in setting up groups to penetrate terrorists. This counter-terrorist operation was to penetrate terrorist groups, but it appears that what they were actually doing was setting up terrorist incidents, basically functioning as agent provocateur. We're going to come across Hans Langemann again in this, the account I'm about to read from The New Reich by Michael Schmidt, only Hans Langemann in this case is an operative of the Verfassungsschutz, and what he's doing is providing an alibi for Karl-Heinz Hoffmann in connection with the Oktoberfest bombing of October of 1980 that took place in Munich. There are serious questions about Karl-Heinz Hoffmann's connections to that. A member of his group died, a supposed lone nut, but there are serious indications that Hans Langemann covered up for Karl-Heinz Hoffmann. Bear in mind, too, what we've looked at in connection with the Olympics massacre. The fellow who basically led the Palestinian terrorists who performed at the Olympics massacre was a fellow named Ali Hassan Salameh. By September of 1973, Ali Hassan Salameh was working for the Central Intelligence Agency, as we looked at in Radio Free America 22. His father, Hassan Salameh, had been a trusted aide of the aforementioned Haj Amin al-Husseini, Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Waffen SS officer, a major specifically, an individual who recruited Muslims into the service of the Third Reich both in the Middle East and in the Balkans and helped to recruit Bosnian Muslims to liquidate Serbs, as we touched on earlier. Haj Amin al-Husseini tabbed Hassan Salameh in order to lead a German intelligence mission into the Middle East that was going to poison the wells of Tel Aviv, thereby signaling a Palestinian uprising in order to draw German troops away from the impending German offensive in the Ardennes that became eventually the Battle of the Bulge. By the way, that battle involved, among other things, the Malmedy massacre of American POWs that Wilhelm Mohnke is wanted for. He was, according to Day One, gotten off for that one, so to speak, by providing information to the CIA in exchange for protection. Hassan Salameh ultimately failed in his mission to poison the wells of Tel Aviv. He was, again, a trusted aide to Haj Amin al-Husseini. After that, he worked for the Grand Mufti in the war against the fledgling nation of Israel, one of the many wars that Israel has fought. So Hassan Salameh and his mentor, the Grand Mufti, began with the Third Reich and then were projected forward into the, quote, modern, unquote, period of history and had a profound influence within the bowels of the fascist elements of the Palestinian national movement. Hassan Salameh ultimately had a son, Ali Hassan Salameh, or Abu Hassan, the son of Hassan. He was the fellow who led the 1972 Olympics massacre and was in the service of the CIA by September of 1973. And again, the chief of security, an individual who did not do a very good job, if indeed he was not actually functioning as a ringer, actually helping it, and that's a possibility that needs to be seriously considered, was Hans Langemann. He did that sort of thing when he was working for BND and appears to have functioned in a similar fashion for the Verfassungsschutz in connection with the Sportgruppe Hoffmann. Turning once again to the book The New Reich by Michael Schmidt, of Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, its connections to Middle Eastern terrorism, of Hans Langemann, his connections to the Verfassungsschutz, and apparently helping with the exoneration of Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, we find the following. Speaking of the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, Michael Schmidt writes,